We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with a simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelance profiles, get help drafting a job post, or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them to take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com today and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelthy providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelthy can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Today we're diving into a case that took a dark turn faster than an overpriced vacation to tropical paradise. The chilling attack on Ariel Koenig by her husband, respected anesthesiologist Gerhard Koenig, on a remote Hawaiian hiking trail. On the surface, everything seemed picture perfect. Successful careers, happy kids, an idyllic home life. But life beneath this glossy exterior was allegedly something deeply troubling. Jealousy, manipulation, and escalating violence. Joining us today to help decode this baffling behavior is retired FBI Special Agent Robin Dreek, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. This is an interesting one. This is where Gerhard allegedly pushed her off a cliff, hoping for her to die. From your experience, Robin, analyzing human behavior, how does someone like Gerhard Koenig, highly educated, trusted professionally, seemingly calm, make such a leap from quiet manipulation to allegedly attempting to murder his spouse in such a brutal, premeditated fashion? I mean, the guy had syringes with him.
Well, it wasn't like you said, it didn't go from 0 to 100. This was an escalation. And yeah. It's not surprising that someone with that level of education and thoughtfulness is going to plan it to make it look natural, look like a mistake, look like a tragedy. Interesting, he had syringes with him that we don't know what was in those syringes. But, you know, when I saw syringes, like, that makes sense, because any case that we cover that has involved a medical professional in some way, there's been some degree of poison that they've tried to use during the conduct of that case. And so him having syringes with him, I'd love to find out what he had in those syringes, thinking that it wouldn't show up in a medical examiner's report if he planned on using them.
Yeah, wouldn't show up in a medical examiner's report, but you're trying to push her off the cliff. I mean, it's interesting. It's almost like he had like an insurance policy with the syringes, mm-hmm. or so he thought. And right. And she survives the fall and luckily gets help by some people that were passing by, and he splits the scene. I mean, does that show just such a, I mean, like a weird level of textbook thinking versus practical human behavior thinking, where you're like, oh, very medical. Okay, we're going to do a syringe and I'm going to push her off the cliff and it'll all work perfectly. Not thinking that, hey, she might fight back. She might not just be like, oh, yeah, okay, let me go ahead, go for it. It seems a little too assumptive on the part of Gerhardt that he's going to be able to execute all these things flawlessly on a public trail.
This is why people get caught.
Yeah.
Thankfully, is because there's all these variables that come into play that someone that's going to do such a horrendous act don't think of. One, it's the victim themselves. People don't want to die and they fight back viciously to maintain their lives. That's one aspect of it. And the other aspect is if they're a little suspicious of you, already, they're going to be on a little heightened alert that you're not anticipating. And then also the other thing you cannot control at all, and that's bystanders, the environment, all those things you can't control. You know, so the idea that he might have had in his world, because again, here's a doctor. And when you're a doctor, you might be thinking of a sterile environment. Mm-hmm. But the environment of working in the world is not a sterile environment. So he's thinking, push her off a cliff to ensure that she dies. I'll inject this in her body just to make sure she's gone. Or like you said, maybe beforehand. I'm thinking probably after the fact. If the fall didn't kill her, he'd make sure that she was gone.
It's an assumption he can get down there, though, too. I mean, in his mind, like, I'm wondering what he was thinking with the syringes. I really, like, how is this part going to work?
Odd one, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, are you, like, pushing her and then jabbing her with the syringe at that moment? I don't quite understand the mindset of how you're going to get this done that way. Unless he thought, I'm going to find a way to just kind of get it in her, knock her out, and then basically throw her off the cliff. Maybe that was
I need to see the cliff itself, but you're thinking like, well, if I pushed her, but I didn't push her hard enough, she's clinging to the edge, then I'll inject her. I mean, see what I mean? You'd have to see the environment in which he was doing it. But again, you have to be in the mind of a cray cray with a broken brain to really understand. I think it's part of plan A with a backup of B of syringes. Because again, syringes, and again, as a medical professional, he knows that there's going to be detectable things in the blood if he uses a syringe. So I do not think the syringe was necessarily part of the original plan. It was going to be a backup, but just in case. Again, from our ability to cover other cases. The only time where a poison in some ways been able to be effectively covered is there's a brand of mushroom and that people have laced in food that doctors have done before for trying to kill someone hiding kind of in plain sight. So anything else is really, really detectable, especially if there's any sort of foul play thought of. And someone falling off a cliff on vacation, especially if she has articulated to anyone in her family or friends in the past that there's violence involved here, the probability of investigation of a potential homicide raises. So he's got to really watch the use of any injectables. See what I mean? So there's a lot of variables. I don't know if he was considering or not, moron.
Well, it makes you wonder what else are they going to find here? They obviously found his stuff they found the syringes, but I'm wondering, I mean, with something like this where he literally just tries to push her off the cliff, do you think they're going to find a trail? Do you think they're going to find any sort of digital evidence? Is this guy going to be one of those that Googled a bunch of like how to push your wife off a cliff and not get caught or things like that? Or is this going to be one of those to where it's just like, he just, all the evidence is in the bag. That's it. It's the syringes and his hands. Or do you think there's going to be some sort of, you know, stream of consciousness that we're going to find of online searches here?
Probably. I mean, I hate laughing about this stuff, you know, but it's, you know, all I'm thinking now is like Koberger, you know, did he buy this, you know, here he is a medical doctor, but he bought the syringes on Amazon.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sure they're going to look for that. Like, where did you get them? But if he's a medical doctor, he probably just took them from his practice, I'm guessing.
So here's what we're probably going to see. We're probably going to see a spike in behavior of an escalation from what he was doing in his life and online searches and social media and things like that. And all of a sudden, there's going to be this moment when he starts doing really stupid, weird things that are coinciding with this trip coming up that they're going to be able to zero in on. I mean, just the probability of that is really, really high because for some reason, whether you're super educated or not, we keep seeing this in cases. We've seen a lot of doctors do really stupid things when it comes to doing things like this. They're thinking of the event itself, of the murder itself, without the events leading up to it. They think they can hide it in an accident. They can hide it in a suicide. They can hide it in an adjustable by mistake. And so they're not focusing on the fact that someone might take a deeper look at you because you're full of the cray cray.
I love that you're using the word cray cray. You've used it twice now in this segment.
I know. This guy's nuts. Because sometimes, you know, it's a little easier to joke about this one because she's still alive.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah, this is I got a lot of other words I want to use for him. But this is a broken brain moron.
This doesn't seem like a thrill kill. This doesn't seem like, you know, an alleged Koberger type thing where it's right. I'm doing this to feel. It seems more like you're inconvenient for me and my what I want to live, how I want to live my life is going to out Trump anything that you want. And I have no empathy for other human beings or maybe just this person for whatever reason. That gets to motivation. Do you think we're going to find that there's another woman here or man or whatever, some other romantic relationship going on as motivation for getting rid of her? Or do you think we're going to see just frustration in a relationship? And rarely do we see that where it's just, I'm frustrated. I want you gone. It's more like there's someone else that they want to get to. And not have this person over here that's going to cause issues with child support or anything like that.
So probability of another person, extremely high if we're looking at stats. Another possibility is I'd be curious about his level of debt that he has and whether she had a life insurance policy.
Ah, that's another one.
Those are the two things I'm looking at, or potentially both.
Yeah, it does make you wonder. I mean, that'd be an area I'm sure they're looking at to try and figure out what the motivation is here. I mean, not that you have to prove motivation, but it certainly would make a lot more sense. But
people generally, especially since he didn't have a criminal record, he had, you know, an escalation of violence and being angry as reported. She put a restraining order against him after the fact, obviously. But I think that there's going to be an external factor that brought him to this point of thinking that this was a great decision and a great idea, that I think is going to be an outside motivator for the action. And as we've seen in past cases, the only two things that are really striking me on this one is an outside relationship. But an outside relationship itself wouldn't necessarily say I need to kill this person, because you can just divorce this person. So there's going to be some other mitigating factor in there. And the only other thing we've seen that are motivators in cases like this is child custody issues and life insurance policies for debt.
If there is another person, do you think they're surprised by this? or do you think they may have
nudged them in this direction?
Yeah. I mean, it'd be a weird one because I guess you'd have to assume that he wasn't going to get caught, or maybe his thought was he won't get caught and he'll just use his story. Oh, we're out there and I was going to leave her, but oh, it just happened to work out so well that she fell off the cliff, and thinking that the mistress, if there is one, will believe it. Or, you know, I'll fix the problem and just leave it at that. And then suddenly she falls off the
cliff. So for some reason, he's got to think he was going to benefit from her being dead, not just gone and divorced and out of his life, but just dead. And so the only thing I can think of really that people in general from the stats that her being dead would benefit would be an insurance policy.
Yeah, I could see that.
House or dower. I mean, there's lots of possibilities, but I think there's got to be a financial motivation in there.
We always try to understand the psychology of these people. He'd been in this relationship with her for quite some time, I believe, if I'm correct, around 10 years-ish, I believe. So it wasn't like this is a brand new relationship, but he had been previously married as well for about 15 years, had kids with another woman. And I found this part curious because I did a little research on it, and I'm not going to name her name because I'm not trying to shame her or anything of this nature. But I found it curious that after they divorced, she became a sex worker and actually writes a article about it in a newspaper about the industry. She even has a podcast about it. Like she's owning it. She's like proud of being in that area. But I did find it odd that, you know, you go from a 15-year marriage, you got kids, and then you decide, hey, I think sex work is the right thing for me. It seems bizarre. It seems a little weird, and it makes me wonder what was going on in that relationship that seemed to be the best path to go on after being married to this guy for all those years. Do you think the two correlate, or do you think it's just, you know, that's just what she wanted to do?
Well, it's really interesting, isn't it? I'm thinking, so I'm not thinking about him in this point of view from his optic. I'm looking at the ex-wife's point of view and optic. So you don't go from zero to sex worker. You go, you know, as part of her life arc and the behaviors that are acceptable and normal and healthy to her and her point of view, and that she was acting in what she thought it was her own best interest. But it goes to the point also of the type of men she chooses to have in her life.
Yeah.
And he was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a pattern of behavior that she, I think her choice to be with him and married to him for a period of time says a lot about who he is and the type of man he was to her, looking at the type of men that she's attracted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it really makes you.
Yeah. So
it's a weird incongruent piece of the puzzle. That's like, huh?
So what's interesting is it's not incongruent. We just have
you're right, it's not, but
have to discover what that congruency is.
Compared to other cases, it's incongruent. Not that other cases matter here. Not, yeah, it's just so, it's like, they're doing what?
Well, it's not normal, healthy behavior.
No.
But it's their normal and they're healthy. And so, again, if you're looking, I'm just looking at her, boy, it's really interesting that the pattern behavior, I would love to know more about her, her background, her motivations. In other words, asking that key critical question, what was that spark all those years ago that inspired you to be who you are today, making the choices you're making? Mm-hmm. Kind of seeing her life arc and then asking her that question of him. So what was it about your ex-husband that was that spark those years ago when you did see something in him? What attracted you to him? What behaviors did he have? What kind of lifestyle did he have? What attracted you to him? And what changed during that time period that you said, this is no longer healthy for me, and you moved away from that and into the area of being a sex worker full time? Because now here's someone who's not trafficked into it, apparently, but was actually made a choice into it, which again, is an extremely low percentage of people that do. Mm-hmm. So I'd be very interested in that, because actually her choice and decisions would tell us a lot about who he is as well.
The latest true crime stories, expert breakdowns, and shocking twists all in one place. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.